Blog Talk Radio.
Black Hole Radio presents Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness with your hosts, Rudolph Muhammad and Yusuf Muhammad.
People get ready, there's a train a-coming. You don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the dealers calling. Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord. So people get ready for the train to Jordan. Open the doors and board them.
Blessings. Welcome to another edition of Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. And as our dear brother, our ancestor, Curtis Mayfield, just said, people get ready. There's a train a-coming. You don't need no tickets. You just get on board. All you need is faith to keep the diesel moving. You don't need no tickets. You just thank the Lord. So in the name of the Most High God, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness there is but one God, and beside him there is no other, the architect of the universe, the creator of the heavens and the earth and all that is in between. Gives me great pleasure to welcome our listening audience, our first-time listeners, and our consistent and constant participants. Greeting you with the greeting words of peace and paradise, we say it in the language of our ancestors. Assalamu alaikum. I am your co-host, Brother Yusuf. Thank you, Brother Rudolph. I am your co-host, Brother Yusuf Muhammad. And as you just heard, giving me the return greetings, which we are taught is a prayer as well, along with our dear brother, Brother Rudolph T. Muhammad. Again, we are eternally grateful for the honor of your ear and the privilege of your presence. Here we are, who would have thunk it? We're at the 30th day of the ninth month of 2022 in this particular millennium. I don't know what that means for you, but I know it has to do something with time. The day, Friday, the day, Juma, the date, the month, the year. I don't know what that has to do with you, but I know it has something to do with time. It's a little after 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we here at Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness come before you every week, every Friday from 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And certainly we welcome you. We thank you, for we realize You could be doing something else with your time, but we also realize you find it worthy to find out what's the update of the landscape as it pertains to disaster preparedness. And Brother Rudolph and I are eternally grateful to be your servants, not only today, but in the previous days and the days to come, if it be the will of Allah. So we have quite a bit on our plate today, but I'm going to give you an opportunity to hear from our dear brother co-host, Brother Rudolph T. Muhammad, as he will welcome you and then segue into, as the hip-hop artist used to say, let us proceed with what you need. Brother Rudolph?
Thank you, Brother Yusuf. Yes. Morgani, peace. Assalamu alaikum. Shalom alaikum. Where to start? These are just some of the greetings used by our family all over the planet. And if we didn't hit the one, the particular one, that makes you feel warm and fuzzy and lets you are welcome, then tap at 563-999-3089 and let us know the way you want to be greeted and greet you that way, so you will know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you're welcome program at this time from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. As we discuss, as the show used to say, what's happening? But beginning all things in the name of the one God, the Most High, the Grand Architect of the universe, the I am the that I am, the Alpha and the Omega, that one that is responsible for your and my existence. He's called by many names. We are taught that Allah is the best name, the culmination of all of his attributes. So we thank Kafar Muhammad, we thank him for raising the most honorable Elijah right from the very Detroit, Michigan, Black Bob, as it was called. And we thank both of them for a portion of their spirit into an individual, and they taught him and they guide, lead, and steer him in the direction that he needs to go in order to lead us out of the wilderness of North America, none other than our big brother, the champion of truth, the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan. So in those great names, I greet the family in the greeting words of peace and a paradise of I.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Thank you, sir. And we're grateful today. Well, one, because we're still alive. Two, we have to use faculties that Allah has blessed us with. And so because of that, there's an attitude of gratitude, and it causes Brother Yusuf and myself and the team at the Disaster Awareness Community Preparedness to just sit back and granted, it, but to get busy working, show ourselves approved, working, found working, right up until whenever the end may come, because none of us know when the end is coming. So it is wise for us to be found working right up until that time. So
that's
our
right.
Job is to help you. We want to enlighten, inform, and inspire you to be able to safeguard yourself, your families, and your communities. So we give you information that if used properly, you do that. So we will give you up-to-date information as Brother Yusuf so poetically says, the update of the landscape. We are going to bring information to you, especially today, about the hurricane that has hit, the one that is presently hitting, and those that are following. So stay tuned. Text somebody, email them, call somebody, telephone, tell a friend. The man known as Super Rhymes is back again. No, I digress. I'm sorry. we're going to give you 5 minutes. No, Dirty Fresh said 6 minutes. We're going to give you 6 minutes to get on the line and get somebody and get them on the phone too. Somebody that you say that you love, that you would like to give a special gift to. You got 6 minutes to get them on the line before we start with this information. The clock is ticking, Brother Yusuf.
6 minutes, Dougie Fresh, you're on. Wrong audience, wrong audience. But in the 6 minutes, brothers and sisters, you know, this is nothing to play with, but it's so heavy that you must have levity to get us through this time. Again, I talked about time and how you see time. You know, I was talking to our dear brother, engineer, and then some, and more, much more than that, Brother Faris Muhammad, earlier before the show came on, and we were talking about what the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught about the two dispensations of time, and that is motion and measurement. Motion and measurement. When you talk about developing a framework of how to get informed about disaster preparedness, or let's start with awareness before preparedness. Number one, you're to get informed. Number two, you're to make a plan. Number three, you're to develop a survival kit. And number four, periodically reassess your plan and your kit. You know, the military, the armed forces of this country, uses the six P's: proper, prior, planning prevents poor performance, they say.
That's right.
And so we here at Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness always make sure you understand the importance of putting the Most High first. Allah, God, Yahweh, whatever you call your supreme being, then we become self-reliant in taking appropriate action in response to any emergency. But as Brother Rudolph said, you have to do the work. It has to be movement. It has to be measurement. And you have to, as my dear brother said, it reminded me, Brother Rudolph, what you said came to mind was 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself approved, being a workman and a watchman, being unashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so what we try to do here on Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness is disseminate the truth to all who are willing to listen. That's why we've given you those 6 minutes to call someone, to bring them onto the line, to tell them that they can also dial in to 563-999-3089. Again, 563-999-3089, or they can log on to blogtalkradio.com/disaster-awareness-for-community-preparedness and reach us by way of social media, if you will, the internet, if you will. We need you to survive, brothers and sisters. This program promotes public awareness and engages in public outreach to inform, to educate, and to train all people on how to best prepare for, respond to, and recover from all emergencies. Our objective is to ensure that everyone has a reasonable working knowledge of disaster preparedness and to help you to determine the best choices in any emergency to avert danger and save lives. Our vision here is that each individual citizen including every capable man, woman, and child, understand their personal responsibility for the safety of themselves, their family, neighbors, and the overall well-being of the larger community. Now, you may remember, brothers and sisters, just 7 days ago, there was a hurricane impacting Puerto Rico and devastating it so much so where the whole country lost power. And periodically, different districts of the country of Puerto Rico got their power back, but it was over 7 to 10 days where there were some areas in Puerto Rico that the people still had no water, no electricity. And I say no water, let me be specific, no drinking water. Okay? So what would happen to you and I where we are? Right now, I'm in southeastern Virginia, catching the remnants of what this world is calling Ian, that went from a hurricane to a storm back to a hurricane. Now they're saying this area may be prone to a tornado because of the, I guess, hot and cold fronts that are going to impact not just Virginia, but if we work our way south, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia. And I don't know if you've been checking out the news, what it did to Florida. Devastation on levels that, if you've never experienced it, I wouldn't wish that on anyone, but that's the time we're in. All the more important reason why we engage ourselves in motion and measurement. These are just some of the things that are on our screen for the past 7 days, whether it was what this world called Fiona that hit Puerto Rico, or what they call it Ian. You know, our ancestors, Marcus Garvey, said, look for me in the whirlwind. You know these hurricanes come off the west coast of Africa and follow the same route as the slave trade, the Holocaust, where our people did and continue to pay a hell of a cost. That's just something else to think about. But look, let's get right into it. What happens if a hurricane hits your area? If you lose electricity, if you don't have any drinking water, water to clean up with. This morning, which is rain and wind here in what they call Tidewater or Hampton Roads, Virginia, the 757, if you will, and we lost electricity for a half hour. Man, was my phone charged? Not where it should have been. Did I have water in my bathtub just as a surplus? These are just some of the things to think about. You know, the basics, whether you're talking about 72 hours or in case you need to evacuate. If you have to shelter in place, you may want to think about a 30-day supply. If you have to evacuate, you may want to think about in your development of a survival kit what to put in your go bag. So a 90-day supply of water. Do you have 1 gallon per person per day? Do you have non-perishable food that will last for 90 days? What about prescription medications? Flashlights? Extra batteries? A battery-powered or hand-cranked radio? What about a first aid kit or a trauma kit? Do you know how to use it? What about cash and change in a waterproof container? Just some of the things to think about. A manual can opener. Flares or whistle to signal for help. If you have one, do you know where it is? What about dust masks for contaminated air? All of us should have some kind of mask coming out of the pandemic, or are we out of the pandemic? What about tools such as a wrench, pliers, other tools to turn off utilities? Do you know how to do it? Do you know where to turn them off? What about plastic sheeting and duct tape to shelter in place if you are stuck at work, home, or elsewhere? What about local maps? Oh, well, I don't need a local map. I know where to go. Well, don't rely so much on your GPS, your global positioning system to work, even when it's operable sometimes. Maybe not you, but with me, it's taking me the wrong direction. I know, but you got a cell phone. What about a battery-powered or solar charger? Think about that. Moist toilets, garbage bags, and plastic ties for personal sanitation. Candles. Well, what good are candles if you don't have matches or a mechanism by which to light the candles? And then alternative cooking mechanisms. These are just some of the things that if you have not considered it, for the novice, this may be your first time listening, these would be some of the things to consider. And for those who've been on this program before, you know, unfortunately, brothers and sisters, too many of us procrastinate. You hear it, you tell the next man, oh, I heard that before, but you never engaged in the right time of motion and measurement. So once you've got the essentials, brothers and sisters, what about personalizing your kit based on the needs of your family and the weather conditions where you live? Now, Brother Rudolph and I, we know New York, that area, the topography, the geography. I came south, and because of Brother Rudolph's experience in the military, he knows this area as well. The 757, the southeastern portion of Virginia. But he's currently in Michigan at this time. Is the topography the same? Is the geography the same? Are the weather conditions the same? That's for us to do our study and study to show ourselves approved. And then there may be one last thing I'll just put on your mind. I don't want to overload you. It's early. We're just in the first half hour of this week's two-hour presentation. But what about non-prescription medications such as pain relievers, anti-diarrhea medication, antacids or laxatives? If you need a cold or flu medicine, you know, we really recommend you get How to Eat to Live. As the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, if we eat the proper food and eat at the proper time, the food will keep us living a long, long time. And we know that's really our God-given immune system, which is our best defense against any challenge in terms of health. But I'll put a pin in it right now and let Brother Rudolph pick up to share with you, share with us that which God has blessed him to bless us with. Brother Rudolph?
Yes, sir, Brother Yusuf, man, you on it. You on it as usual. Oh, man, you get me, as they say, you get me hyped, bro. You get me hyped. Man, yeah, you know, got to relate this back to our old days, brother, of playing on that team there at number seven, you know. Yeah, so
yes,
so you gonna win in there, you gonna score a couple, and Brother Hafiz done pulled you out now, give you a little breather, sixth man off the bench, I'm coming in, I don't need no warm-up, yeah. I stay ready so I don't have to get ready, so here I
That's
am,
right.
Just stole the ball, and now I'm going down the court, you know, they call me coast to coast, I'm getting ready, slam it, slam it, what I did. Because when you go through these disasters and you have to leave where you are to go where you're trying to get to, your sojourn causes you to now become a refugee. And you're seeking asylum. Just like we watch in the news, as we watch what goes on over in the motherland, how the various groups of people are seeking asylum in other countries because they have, they're fleeing something in their homeland, and they're trying to look for a better way of life. Well, when these storms, these hurricanes, these tornadoes, and all of these either natural disasters, man-made disasters, or technological disasters hit your door, you're doing the same exact thing. So prayerfully, you snatch up your go bag that has been prepared prior to it, and now you're on the move. And you had your plan, the whole family knows, and so you're moving out as a unit. And now you are solely responsible for the safety and security of everyone in your unit. And you have to get them from point A to point B safely. And while you're doing it, what's going through your head, and which no one will ever notice until you've been through it, and while you're going through it, you're doubting yourself. There's doubt running in your mind. Man, did I make the right decision? Should we have gone left when we went right? Should we have stopped and stayed rather than proceed? Man, all of these thoughts are running through your head. But once you're engaged, you must go 100%. 100%. Because hesitation will get you killed. Will get the people that you love killed. Once you make a decision, you have to go 1,000% with that decision. And you have to think on the fly, as they say. So now, what ID have you brought? How can you prove who you are? Do you have picture ID? So you need a state ID, whether it's a driver's license or a non-driver's license. If you're on social services, so you have your benefits card that should have your picture on it. If you're retired from the military or something like that, you have your military ID. If you are a student that's in school, you have your school ID that should have your picture on it. Maybe you have job ID that has a picture on it. Anything that can prove that that's you, that you are who you say you are. Then behind that, you need to be able to prove who you are. So you need either the original or a certified copy of your birth certificate and your Social Security card so that when you get wherever you're going, you can request some services because they're due you because you're a citizen and you've already paid into the system, but you got to prove who you are to be able to get those funds allocated to you.
That's
so
right.
Right now, that's three pieces of ID. That's a picture ID, a state ID, a job ID, or a school ID. Even an expired driver's license will work for you in disaster time as proof of who you are. But you will still need other ID to go with it. So your expired driver's licenses, don't throw them away. Put them in your go bags so that you can have a piece of valid piece of ID in there. I don't know if you have a passport or not. If not, then that should be on your list of trying to get one and trying to get it now so that you don't have to pay the exorbitant fees of trying to expedite it. So you set the wheels in motion right now. Fill out the application, pay the fee, and in a couple of weeks, God willing, it will get to you. So what other pieces of ID do you need? You need either... And what are your...
Brother Rudolph, wherever you are, beloved, your transmission is going in and out.
Okay, all right. What about now, brother? Is that better?
Loud and clear, sir.
Okay, so now your medical cards, you need those because wherever you're going, you may need medical attention. And I work in a hospital, so I'm going to tell you, nobody cares what your emergency is when you walk through that door, really. The first question they asking you is, let me see your ID and proof of insurance. Mm-hmm. You could have blood pumping out of your neck, pumping out of your chest, pumping out of your loved one's torso somewhere. They want to see ID and proof of insurance. Now, the law, EMTALA, E-M-T-A-L-A, says that every hospital is required by law to treat you. Oh, but that word treat has so many different colors of meaning to it, Brother Yusuf.
Mm-hmm.
And the hospitals interpret it as being all they have to do is stabilize you. So you're bleeding, patch him up, he ain't got no insurance, send him on his way. Oh, but she's having a baby. Okay, check her. Is she crowning? Oh, baby's not coming. It's not imminent birth. All right. Stabilizer. Send them on their way. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's having a seizure. Oh, the seizure's over. He's in the post-it phase. All right. He ain't got no insurance. Send him on his way. And God forbid if you happen to stumble on a private hospital. Hell, they don't even have to open their doors to you because they're private. It's only the city or municipal hospitals that are forced to let you in the door as far as the waiting room to the triage area to treat you and triage you and stabilize you. But even with that, wait times in the emergency rooms now are in excess of 8 hours. And while you're highly appalled at that when you get in there, because you see people coming in, you go in, they take your information, they take you in there, do your blood, your vitals, and then they reseat you back in the waiting room. And people are hawking and spitting and throwing up and moaning and groaning and all kind of things, snot running out, they know all kinds of stuff going on in that emergency room. You're probably better off sitting outside in the air. And so you're watching people come in and go out, and some people are taking in before you, and you've been sitting there 4 or 5 hours, and now you're a little upset, and you come up to the window, and now you decide that you're going, in your infinite wisdom, you're going to curse out the registration person. Bad move. In chess, that's tantamount to just giving away a major piece for no good reason. So now you cursed out the person who would have been your ally to get you in. Human nature kicks in now. Oh, so I'm Mr. MF? I'm B.I. Oh, that, oh, me? Okay. So now your paper goes to the bottom of the file. Boop. Or into the shredder. Boop, boop. No record that you even checked in. So now when you're complaining, what are you talking about? We have no record of this person in here. I'll start the process all over again. Oh, yeah, human nature kicks in. So I'm just saying that. You have to keep your cool. You go and you just ask the question. And you're asking them, how long is it going to be? And they can't tell you. They're not medical. They're registration. So then you see somebody in scrubs, maybe pushing a wheelchair. They may just be a transporter, orderly. You think they're a nurse. Everybody to you that has a medical scrubs, but not a nurse. That's what you think. This person don't know what you do. They work in a lab, or they work in the transport division, or they work in the commissary. Or they may be one of the maintenance people. But, hey, that's all right. They got no scrubs. It's good enough for me. So now you're asking them all kind of questions, all kind of scenarios, and they're entertaining you because it makes them feel important. But at the end of the conversation, you still won't have an answer to your question, and you're more close to being seen than you were when you started. Maybe it made you feel good as you told your story, and someone listened. Okay, but now you're still waiting, you're still waiting. Now you get past the triage area, and you get into the back there. You get into a bed, and now the doctors are coming to you, and now the techs come over, and now they're going to draw about 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 vials of blood. They're going to do an EKG to check your heart. They're going to do some x-rays of you. They're going to retake more vitals. They're going to ask you questions. Now you're getting frustrated because you're in pain. And you still haven't gotten anything for pain, and they're not going to give you anything for pain just yet. And now the next person comes over, and they start the line of questioning again. And then the third person finally gets over, and you think it's a doctor, it's a resident. And they're asking you questions, and you take stuff back, and you talk to the main doctor who's maybe on the phone. He may be somewhere in the complex, but not necessarily right there in the emergency room. You've seen a nurse, what you think is a nurse, but there may be an RN somewhere in there, but that wasn't her that you saw because the RNs are in demand and they're scarce, and so they're in strategic locations. And so maybe you saw an LPN, or maybe you saw an EMT, or maybe you saw a nurse, or maybe you saw a CNN. But you don't know because you're not focusing on that. You saw someone in some scrubs, and you thought that it was the second, but you're still laying there in pain. And so 4 hours later, you're still laying there. Why? Because the hospital is now 2-3 RNs in the emergency. They have to make their way around to every individual so they can get access and dispense it to you while everybody else holding your hand and rubbing your head and telling you, don't worry, baby, it's going to be okay. Well, Big Mama ain't there. So what I'm not the same to you because you're in such a hell of a condition. Such big medical words that you don't know what they mean. You're just going along with the program. You're being used as a tool and a guinea pig for the medical community. And if you decide, man, I'm done with this, I'm out of here, that's all right, go ahead and leave. They're billing you anyway because they already got your information. So now you're paying for services that you're not even going to get. Oh, it's a hell of a thing, Brother Yusuf. It's a hell of a situation.
That's right.
The only way to prevent it is to have never gone. The only way to prevent having to go is get them books, How to Eat to Live, Book 1 and Book 2, and start reading them from cover to cover, line by line, word by word, line by line, page by page. And if you don't understand something, get you a dictionary and parse that word and find out what it means. But How to Eat to Live is written in such a way that a person in fifth grade can read the book and understand what each paragraph is talking about.
Right.
It's such, so simplistic, simple instructions. But because we are who we are, we're not going to follow the simple instructions because we make things complicated. So now once we make things complicated, then when we need the help, now we want to humble ourselves. You know, it's similar to going to that same hospital, and now you're talking to the healthcare provider, and you're giving them the history, but you're not giving them the full history. You're not telling them everything that you took. You're telling them a little bit of it. So now they're taking your information and they're processing it based on what knowledge they have of, you know, what's going on. But what you also have to remember is that everybody that graduates as a doctor or as a nurse, they didn't graduate the head of the class. Some of them graduated the tail of the class. That person with that 75 graduated just like the person with the 99. But you have to think about where you are. Do you think you got the 99% percentile student, or did you get the 75 percentile student? Which one? What hospital are you at? Were you at Harlem Hospital? Were you at Kings County? Were you at Woodhall? Were you at Norfolk General? Mm-hmm. Are you in Pasadena General? Pontiac General, Cook County, where are you? Yeah, so these are just some things to think about. But you need to have some ID so you can prove who you are and access the resources that you're trying to get. Then, as you said, Brother Yusuf, you got to have some cash. Cash moves everything around. I was digressing. I was going back into it. But this is the soundtrack to our life. Everybody has a soundtrack to their life. You think about
that's
the
right.
songs that pertain to what you, who you are and what you're going through. I mean, we throw ours out there every day. Yeah. We started off with people get ready. There's a train coming. If you're from New York City
right.
and the train is coming, you know, one, stand back away from the platform before somebody push you in front of the train. Second, when the train get there and the doors open, let the people out before you try to get on. And when you get on, step lively and step quickly into the car, into the middle of the car. Don't stand there in front of the door. Find a seat if you can, if you're lucky. But if not, at least you're on the train, and the train is moving. Now you just have to deal with whatever happens while you're in that car as you're moving. But that's how life is. It's situations that come up, and you have to have situational awareness.
That's right.
Where you are and what is actually going on. So you have to learn to compartmentize. You have to learn to be compartmental in your thinking. Yeah, something just happened to you 20 minutes ago, but you can't be dwelling on that now. Now is now. Now is the present. That was the past. You got to leave that in the past so you can deal with the present. Because the future is the next stop, and you're going to know what's down them tracks. So that's just the way it is. And when you talk about disasters, man, if you're not dealing with up-to-the-date information about what's going on with that disaster, you're dealing with old news. And with disasters, news changes very quickly. And what
that's
could
right.
have been the plan 5 minutes ago, if you take that same route, could be the your sudden instant death. So you have to have a way to communicate or to receive communications. And we always say you should have that good old transistor radio that takes that one AAA or that one AA battery. And when you turn it on and put it on the station, you hear a lot all of that static until you get to the station that you want. And that radio should have what we call a weather channel on it, a dedicated weather station that you go to. You're not going to WBLS because you ain't trying to pop your fingers and hear no music. You trying to find out what's going on. Where's the wind coming from? Where's it going? When is the water going to start? Where's the flash flood coming from? That's what you want to find out. You get you a NOAA radio, N-O-A-A, and that radio will have a dedicated station that no matter what time of day you go to it, you're going to get up-to-date information on what's going on where you are. It's an investment, so maybe you can't get that tall can of Coke 45 for 3 days, or maybe you got to put that pack of Newports down. I guess Newports is about $10 a pack now. Well, you sacrifice
yes,
two of them, you can get you a radio.
Yes, them.
Or if it's not Newports, then all right, you know, I understand you got your medical marijuana card. So, you know, and you know, times like these, what Preach said in Cooley High, times like these, just want to get high. Yeah, but when you high, you can't focus on reality. And when the high wears off, you coming right back down to reality. So how that work? How that do for you? Yeah, so, you know, these are just something. I know somebody's saying, Brother Rudolph, what the heck is you talking about? You're supposed to be disaster awareness for community preparedness. You're supposed to be telling us the stuff that we need to do. Well, we've been piping to you all the day long, and you have not lamented.
Go ahead. We
are just the voice of one crying out in the projects. Are you ready? because it's coming. It's not about if, it's when.
Right.
You know, you go to the movies and you see a trailer and at the end it says, coming to a theater near you. Well, yeah, this storm is coming to a town near you. So the question is, are you ready? Brother Yusuf?
Thank you, Brother Rudolph. Beautiful, beautiful. I mean, look, like a voice crying out in the wilderness, make straight in the desert a highway for our Lord. Look, brothers and sisters, we're at 4:45 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and Brother Rudolph just laid out a wonderful scenario, wonderful in the sense that he's trying to get us prepared to understand situational awareness, knowing what to do, when to do, where to do, how to do. He's trying to let us see that the two dispensations of time are motion and measurement, but you got to make a move first in order to measure your moves. So, and he said, you know, disasters can occur at any time, different levels at different times. And as he was speaking, my electricity didn't go out, but my modem did. So what I had to give in terms of information by way of the internet right now, gone. But you don't panic. You stay calm in any situation. But I still have the phone. I pray that my transmission is clear. And so just say we get an order to stay home. We want you to have a family plan in place. Stay together at all times and go to a predetermined interior room away from windows if the disaster is a hurricane or a tornado, if you will. We know that repetition is the mother of learning, and a reminder benefits those who believe, profits those who believe, and is a mercy to those who believe. So you're going to hear time and time again, have an emergency kit, have it stocked and ready to go if you have to evacuate. You want to consider filling your sinks, your bathtubs, and buckets full of water for sanitation use. If the power goes out, you may lose your water supply. Remember, 1 gallon per person per day. Think about filling a cooler with ice to store food in case the power goes out. Bring outdoor, if you have a yard, lawn furniture, toys, garden tools, and tie down objects that cannot be brought inside. You want to make sure all of your portable electronics, your smartphone, your tablet, your MP3 player, your laptop are fully charged. Consider buying a battery-operated charger to use if the power goes out. You want to have plenty of toys and books to keep children entertained. Let someone know you are staying home during the storm. And do not go out in the brief calm, as strong winds can pick up sooner than you expect. These are just some of the things to consider if you stay home. But what if you do have to evacuate? I mean, many people ignore when they get that call from authorities about evacuating because they know not what they do, they haven't made a plan, or they don't trust leaving their home because of, you know, things they may have in their home. But one of the things you want to make sure is that you have a full tank of gas in your car, if you have a car or a vehicle of some sort. It's best to consider filling up at night, because if disaster strikes your area, it may be a possibility that the gas stations will also be impacted by the disaster. Again, bring your car emergency kit or have one in your car. Brother Rudolph mentioned earlier, have cash, small denominations, no bigger than a $20 bill before the storm, because if, in fact, the ATM service may be interrupted. But speaking of interruptions, I'm going to stop right there because we have our dear brother, Brother Allah on the line, who I understand has boots on the ground in the state of Florida. So, Brother Allah, if you're on the line, assalamu alaikum, welcome, brother. Can you bring us up to date of the landscape where you are in terms of your recent experience with this storm? Brother Allah? Well, brothers and sisters, again,
he must be having trouble finding a signal, but he will be on as soon as he can get to a safe location and get a signal. But we do have, he is in Florida. He's been there 2 days now, and
Brothers,
yes.
As far as I know, Brother Law is on. I don't know if he knows he's on, but everybody who's supposed to be coming on, they have to press 1 so we know they want to speak. Please.
Okay, the 914 number, that's Brother Barry. Okay. All right, let's see who is. Oh, yeah, he just sent me a text and said, my signal is horrible.
Well, you know, it's not surprising to us. That's what we're trying to get you, our listening audience, to understand. Anything can happen in a twinkling of an eye. You know, we were scheduled to have, amongst others, Brother Shelton Muhammad of the Black Farmers collaboration, if you will. But he decided not to come on because, again, where he is in a rural area, he knows that, generally speaking, he would have bad reception based on the forecast we were getting, and he was getting where he is in an area called Boykins, Virginia. So we'll reschedule him for the next time, and as I mentioned earlier, you know, as Brother Rudolph was just speaking, I lost all of my internet power. And so until Brother Allah gets in a better position, I'll pick up where we left off on the subject, if you evacuate.
Yes, sir.
You want to take extra supplies or no, before you evacuate. I left off talking about getting cash before the storm, because ATM service may be interrupted. Y'all remember I said that last. You also want to consider shutting off the power, the water, and the gas before you leave. If you have no expertise, then make sure you get a professional to turn your gas back on. Take extra supplies with food with you, with water, food. You may be stuck in traffic for a long period of time. Bring your cell phone and charger. Bring any medications you may need and or important medical records. You want to carry all valuables and important documents in a waterproof container. If you are traveling with children, make sure they have plenty of snacks, toys, books, and movies to keep them entertained. If you are traveling with pets, be sure they have the necessary supplies and accommodations. Follow the roads that emergency workers recommend, even if there's traffic. Other routes may be blocked. And as Brother Rudolph said, go to your AM stations and look for the designated weather channel on your AM radio to get the update of what's going on the roads. So those were just some of the points we wanted to share here in the first hour. If you stay at home, if you evacuate. And then there are other things to consider like power outage safety, generator safety if you have a generator, water safety, cell phone versus landline, other tips for your family, and other tips for seniors. But as we enter the second hour of this week's program, I'll pass it back to Brother Rudolph, and then we'll pick up where we left off. Brother Rudolph?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Brother Yusuf. Thank you, brother. Excellent, excellent information, excellent detailing of it. And I pray that our listeners, you know, that are here have the wherewithal and the ability to document and to write down some of this stuff that we're giving them if they don't already know it. I know some of you may be on and say, man, Brother Joe, talk about the same stuff every week. Yes. Yes, we do. Repetition is the mother of learning. And as Brother Yusuf always so eloquently reminds us, disaster preparedness is like education and spirituality. It comes in degrees of understanding. So we have to start at kindergarten, so to speak, before we can get you up into the master's degree program. Now, for those of you who feel that you have successfully passed the go bag and the flashlight battery classes, then that's fine. Then go down the hall and go into the first room on your left and take a seat, and we'll move into the next phase of disaster preparedness, which are called the facilities management class. So now, what systems need to be put in place now prior to, or what systems can you put in place on the go while you're actually out there, or when you get to somewhere that is a little safer than where you left? What systems can you put in place that can hold you?
Brother Rudolph,
yes, sir.
I believe
yes, sir.
We have our subject matter experts on, Brother Barry and Brother Allah. I believe they're okay. On there.
All right, let's go with Brother Barry. Hold on. Let's go with Brother Allah first, because he's, as they say, in the eye of the storm. So, Brother Allah, you on the line? Can you hear us? All right, then let's go with Brother Barry there. Brother Barry.
Greetings, family.
All right. Greetings, sir. Okay, now, Brother Barry is physically, geographically in the New York City area. Brother Barry, can you tell us what's going on where you are?
Well, temperature has been in the 60s most of the day. It's going to drop down into the 50s. Got a little bit of wind. The trees, the leaves are blowing a little bit. It's been cloudy all day. No precipitation as yet, but I've spoken to folks in Carolina, meaning South Carolina, Charleston area, and even in the Charlotte area of North Carolina, which is inland more than anything else. They're getting consistent rain as well, but no rain here up this far south yet.
Okay, now the clouds that you're looking at, are they layered clouds or is just flat cloudy coverage?
No, it's just flat cloudy coverage. Yeah, it's great sky.
Okay, Gray Scott, okay. Now, for those of you that's listening, you may be wondering, what the hell are they talking about, layered clouds or just flat clouds? It's terminology germane to what we do, but it's a way of knowing, as the scripture says, reading the signs of heaven. Remember, our ancestors were able to navigate ships. They were able to navigate their trails and their traveling on land, daytime or nighttime, without the use of GPS, compass, or a map, because there are just certain signs that they were taught that was passed down from to them from their ancestors, and they paid attention and learned them. Mm-hmm. So that's why I was asking him that in that way. You know, just basic stuff like the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. That helps. If it's a clear night and you can find Polaris, then you know that that's the North Star, so you can kind of evaluate which direction you're going in. But suppose it's a cloudy night, then how do you navigate travel? Do you know what side of a tree moss grows on, so you'll know whether you're going north, south, east, or west? Which way do streams go? Which way do rivers run? Do you know? Do you know which way interstates go? Which way, you know, you have your three-letter interstates, you have your two-letter interstates. Do they travel north, south? Do they travel east, west? Do you even know? Back to you, Brother Barry. Brother Barry, can you hear me? Okay, I think we may have lost him.
Can you hear me?
Okay, I hear you now.
Okay. yeah, as you was explaining to folks and saying, you know, he was asking those questions, do you know this, do you know that, you really got to really want this stuff. You know, you really got to want it. And, you know, you was asking me about the weather, and I started talking about the cloud cover, you know, and I was saying it in, I'll say, layman's terms, for lack of a better phrase, but those clouds are actually stratus clouds, right? Those are the clouds, as I described, you know, total gray sky, low-level clouds, as opposed to, you know, another layman's term would be the big, puffy, white clouds. No, it's not that kind of a day, because I can't see blue nowhere. You know, I don't see the big balls of cotton in the sky. Those are cumulus clouds. But no, today, here in this New York region, it's these are stratus clouds, low-level, gray sky all the way through, everywhere you look.
Which means that you're that it's imminent that you're going to get some precipitation at some point.
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
And the darker the cloud coverage, the closer the cloud, the cloud cover looks to you, the faster it's going to come on. You know, another question that came to mind, Brother Barry, for the layman to study and inquire. Okay, when you hear thunder and you see lightning, do you know how far off it is from you, or do you know how to calculate how far off it is, or how close it's getting to you as you're hearing it and seeing it? That is also a sign that if you learn, you can tell which way the storm, whether it's coming or leaving, and you can approximate how much time you have before you're in the thick of it. But again, like you said, this is something that you have to want, and it's something that you have to be a student of in order to learn these things. Brother Barry?
Yeah, it's absolutely true. And I know that learning curve, man, we know it's long, and it's a big arch, you know, in terms of the learning curve. But as things become applicable to you, your lifestyle, where you live, your environment. Yeah, you got to know it, man. You know me, I'm always pushing folks to get the aviation license certifications. And yep. If there's one thing you better know your clouds if you up there, you know.
Right.
Yeah, man. You can't just pull over, man. You can't pull over. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean?
Hey, man, yeah, pull over, but I got puffy cloud, man.
Yeah. So, you know, it's all relative, man. You know my favorite line, you know, with this preparedness thing, it's like, I just put it in perspective, man. I be like real clear. I take your line, straight talk with straight understanding, and that's that.
Yes, sir.
You know, it's real, man.
Well, Brother Barry, you're talking about aviation and flying, brother. You know, if a disaster strikes while flying, brother, and you have to use your parachute, brother, can you connect the dots and share with our listening audience your analogy of using that parachute and the importance of...
Yeah, I ain't told that to nobody in a long time. It's the principle. It's the principle of provident preparation, you know, and it's like a parachute. And see, the thing about it is, I just want to preface this real quick. And I said it earlier, you got to want this thing, man, right? You got to want to live, right? You can't be doing anything when your life and your family life is on the line, right? You'll get tired of your house floating into the ocean, I guess. I don't know. So this whole thing about the parachute piece, if you miss anything, you know how you have options, right? Right. Sometimes you can go left, you can go right. You might be in a situation where it's like, okay, if I don't do it this way, you know, I can get away with it if I do it that way. It don't work like that, man. And so that's what this analogy is about. So here it go. And this is relative to preparation. And preparation is like a parachute. You must have it before you need it. You must have it on when you need it. You must know how to use it when it is needed. You actually must use it if needed, and it must be in good quality and work when you use it. And more importantly, right, and see, the thing about that is if any one of those things are missing, you lose, right? So in terms of the analogy and with preparation and this parachute theorem, if you will, the main thing out of all of that at the end is you must learn how to pack your own parachute.
Right. Mm. You didn't pack it, you won't know what's in there. Right.
Yeah, you gotta know this thing. You gotta believe it, man. You know?
Yeah.
And this way you don't have to learn it the hard way, man. You know, like dying.
Going splat.
Only you and Brother Rudolph, a.k.a. the disaster of doom, would speak straight words. Tell us how you really feel.
Incoming.
Real brothers and sisters, we're not playing.
Brothers and sisters, don't take this the wrong way. Don't think that we're making light of this stuff. No, what we're doing is we're trying to inject some levity into it because it's such a serious situation, and disaster preparedness is a topic that more often than not, it's going south. It's going to go south, and it's going to go south quickly. And this is why we stress over and over and over again the basics of it, because, you know, it's like playing a game, whether it's football or basketball. Now, you could play a team that has play basketball. You could play a team that has five superstars, five Michael Jordans on the team. Or you could play a game of football that has, you know, all nothing but superstars on the team. But if you stick to the basics of the game, there's a great possibility that you can win that game just by sticking to the basics. And this is what we're trying to get you to understand. It's a great possibility that you, if it be the will of God, first of all, and then you do your homework, you can survive the disaster or the encounter just by sticking to the basics. And as they used to say on Dragnet, just the facts, man. Just the facts.
Yo, man.
I'm sorry.
If you know how to swim well, it don't matter how deep the water is, man.
Okay, now let's hold that statement right there. How many black people know how to swim? Let's start with that question, and then we'll go with the well. Okay.
Well, by nature, we all do because we swam out to start with.
Right, but most people forgot about that.
Yeah.
They forgot about that part.
And we got away from the water births, so hey.
Right. So there goes that one. A hell of a time to think, be reminded of that fact is when you're neck deep in the water and your feet are not touching the bottom.
That's right.
Again, I always tell people, you know, jokingly, I was in the Navy some years. I couldn't swim from here to across the street on top of the water. Now, I could do it on the bottom now. I could swim on the bottom. But that on top moving stuff. Now, Brother Forrest can do it. I've watched Brother Forrest. Brother Forrest be in that pool looking like the man from Atlantis. And for any of you that know Brother Forrest, I mean, that's like the seventh or eighth wonder of the world right there.
Right.
But, yeah, you know, now I can survive. I know how to survive in the water. I know water survival. I know how to float if I need to. But that propelling stuff, I haven't quite mastered that yet. But how many people don't even know how to float when they get in the water because they get so overwhelmed by fear of the water that they panic and they hasten on their own doom? But I'm just digressing. We can go back to the topic.
Yeah, no, well, brothers, thank you for sharing that because it's really critically important. You never know what we say, who's receiving it in the way they need to receive it. So I thank you, Brother Barry, for calling in, number one. Number two, offering your expertise as you normally do. And that parachute analogy is right on. I pray that our listening audience understands the significance of those principles you shared. And, you know, when you brothers start talking about the clouds, the stratus cloud, the low-level gray cloud, and the cumulus clouds, I mean, you were taking me to another level, and you actually reminded me of my mother, who was a biologist by profession. And, you know, one of the things in one of our lessons that asks what makes rain, hail, snow, and earthquakes, the answer is, many of us know that the earth is approximately covered underwater, approximately 3/4 of the earth's surface. The sun and the moon having attracting power on our planet. While our planet is making the terrific speed of 1,037 1/3 miles on its way around the sun. The sun draws this water up into the Earth's rotation, which is called gravitation, in a fine mist that the naked eye can hardly detect. But as this mist ascends higher and increasing with other mists of water in different currents of atmosphere, until when she becomes heavier than the gravitation, then she distills it back to the earth in the form of drops of water or drops of ice, which depends on how heavy the mist was in the current of the air it was in. You see, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, there are some layers or currents of air, real cold and warm, some very swift and changeable. So when the water strikes one of these cold currents, it becomes solid ice in small round droplets in form or in a light fluffy form called snow. But this water is not ever drawn above 6 miles from the earth's surface by the sun and moon. The reason it rains back on our planet is because it cannot get out of the earth's sphere with its high speed of rotating around the sun, makes it impossible. Those different levels of conversation we have with those on this line, we don't know who's on this line, but we pray everything that we say here on Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness increases your level of consciousness, that you would turn what you hear into practical application and even daily implementation. And so back to you, Brother Barry, I know you said you made contact with people in North Carolina. We heard from one of our consistent listeners, Brother Rudolph, Sister Ajuba, who just informed me that, you know, she heard a loud bump in her house and the lights blinked. She said, should I pull out the power handle and turn off the power? Says, I have fuses in my house. Then she went on to do her research, and she found the, I guess, what's considered in her area, the Duke Energy emergency number that she was given, and she's going to make a call to them. So, Brother Barry, based on your expertise, should she have pulled out the power handle and turned off the power, or should she have waited until she either smelled or saw smoke?
She already pulled the plug?
No, she was asking the question.
Oh. Well, use her senses. Go look. Go see. Smell. Hear if there's anything kind of like sizzling near that box. Because that thump, it could have been something that fell in the yard. It could have been a tree. You know, anything. So, yeah, definitely mm-hmm. check out all of the surroundings of the structure she's in, her home. Depending on where she's at, you know, that phone call is what it is, you know, especially, I mean, if she's lucky enough to have spoken to someone, oh well, but even in that case, all that person is going to do is just take a note, you know, because there's so much stuff going on. You say she's in North Carolina?
Yeah, she's in the Raleigh, North Carolina area, and I told her something similar before she pulled the plug. But it's about that situational awareness again, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen. I think we have Brother Allah on the line at this time. So, Brother Allah, if you're on the line, brother, welcome. Assalamu alaikum. Please give us an update of the landscape where you are, and Brother Rudolph temporarily dropped, but he'll be back on soon.
Yeah, I'm back on. Go ahead, Allah.
Good.
Assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me?
Wa alaikum salam, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh, I can see. I can hear you. I can hear you. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's always good to be on the show. It's good to hear my brother's voices, and y'all are broadcasting. I'm here in Orlando. I've been here in Orlando all week. Preparing for the storm and doing a disaster response here. This is a rough one, brothers. It's a rough one. And those out here that live in the communities, they know how rough it really is. It wasn't always the wind and the actual storm. It was the aftermath that got a lot of people in the Orlando region that I'm in, and also in the Fort Myers region. It may have been the storm and the wind and the rain, but here in Orlando, the problem is the system that they have in place to prevent the flooding that's causing the flooding. Here in the Orlando region, they have a system in place called levelers underneath the ground, which levels out all of the lakes and the ponds that keep, and the drainage ditches that keep the water levels down. What ended up happening is that the water levels, once the lake, the pond, and all the rivers are full, it starts to back up into the streets. The system is doing its job a little bit too well to a certain degree, and it's pushing the water back into the streets. And once it gets into the streets, it gets back onto the properties, and from the properties into people's homes. So hours after the storm was over, we were having flooding problems here in Orlando. And it was backing up into a lot of the communities because the water had no place to go. And the leveling system just kept pushing the water back out into the lakes, and the lakes kept pushing it back into the communities. So it was doing what it was supposed to do, but was causing a reverse effect, which ended up causing us to have to evacuate after the storm. And a lot of properties, nursing homes and hospitals and vital resources ended up being in jeopardy because of that. And also a lot of the residential areas ended up getting flooded, apartment buildings, hotels, I just got in this morning and that's what we were doing, getting people out of different types of housing facilities all night in the water. When we got there, it may have been a foot of water, and hours later, 4 or 5 hours later, it was 3 feet of water. So the water was still rising, and it may still be rising in certain communities because of the leveling systems underneath the ground. It's also connected to the sewage, which is just tries to keep the water balanced and level all the way around, but it's leveling the whole community with water.
Wow. You know, it's crazy. And this is just me. This is just Brother Rudolph thinking out loud. You would figure a place like Florida that has hurricanes on a regular. Okay. They see this on a regular. Somebody somewhere in the emergency management team would ask the question, okay, well, if this happens every time it floods, what else can we do to help alleviate the situation? Can we do to mitigate this situation? How can we deal with this constant flooding? And the people that live there, the residents of flood zones. And again, I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just asking this question because I just can't understand how you can keep going back to the same situation and going through the same situation over and over and over again without making a major drastic change in your lifestyle or living conditions. Just thinking out loud.
Well, brother, I really feel like they have a product that people can't refuse. I mean, they keep it looking beautiful. They keep it looking nice. The weather is beautiful. It's just a product that people can't refuse. And people just keep coming back without actually learning or teaching the lesson to build and add the infrastructure necessary to keep it nice. It's kind of like that car that's beautiful looking, but it doesn't really run that well.
Brother, you do realize I live in Michigan, right? You do realize we're live on the air, and I'm talking from Detroit, the capital of GM, Chrysler, Ford, and all of that, right? So you can't be talking about these people's cars like that, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But we all have that beautiful car that just never ran right.
You mean fix or repair
daily? After we finished paying for it, that's when it just started acting strange.
Held together just long enough to get that last payment.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But that's exactly what's happening here, is that they just keep the wheels on, the engine running and the wheels going, but it's not, and it looks good on the outside, but on the inside, there's a lot of problems, infrastructure problems that they never really address, or they dress it up to make it look like something that is really not.
Yeah, you would figure people would invest more in houseboats down there.
Invest in a lot in the houseboats. In Fort Myers, all the boats in the pier and all the boats in the marina ended up on the land, and I don't understand why. I'm still confused of why everyone's boat was still in the marina and not moved further west, but out of the eye of the storm.
This storm was really
major in size, and on the east side of the peninsula, which is where Daytona, I think is that Daytona Beach has been touched really severely, and we have teams out there right now in the water still doing evacuations.
Right,
and this is 72 hours in.
Well, you know, my son lives Lil Rudy, he lives in Fort Myers. And so I was in touch with him up until about 48 hours ago. And he was telling me what was going on. He said that all the malls had shut down. The businesses had shut down. It was basically a curfew put in place. And that if you wasn't where you needed to be, you better hurry up and get there because you couldn't be out and around because nothing was going. Buses wasn't running. You know, nothing was going on. Businesses closed to keep people off the street.
Oh, yes, sir. There was a curfew here, and only authorized personnel could travel for the last 2 days. This morning was like around the first time that it was lifted, but they didn't want anybody but military, police, and fire, and EMS personnel, medical personnel on the street. Prior to the storm, and up till this morning, basically is the first time people really were out and about. Everything was closed, and a lot of things are still closed here. There was no place to go or nothing to do for you to be out in the street.
Right.
Yesterday and the day prior.
Makes sense.
There were still roads that you may have gone through in the morning, and you might have dodged a couple of some debris going in, but on the way out, that road wasn't there anymore. It was covered by water.
Okay. So, hospitals, are they evacuating people to other area hospitals, or are they just staying where they are, just moving? And here's another thing, because historically I don't remember too many buildings down there that have a lot of floors in it, like New York City, where you could just move people from the first, second, third, fourth floor up to the 9th, 10th, 11th floor. And, you know, just deal with it like that. So what's the situation with that?
So the hospitals the hospitals, they worked on some infrastructure with the hospitals. We have some flooded parking lots, but we don't have flooded hospitals. We may have there's some hospitals that are surrounded by water.
Yes.
So people have to walk through 2 or 3 feet of water to get out of it, but they are, or they may have lost their cars, but we didn't lose the hospital.
Okay.
Nursing homes, on the other hand, we lost a lot of nursing homes, and we had to physically go in, and we had to get the military with people movers to go in there, which is like large Humvees that are like vehicles, or tall vehicles, and they drive in there and they fill them up with people.
Fill them up with people and drive them out.
That's the only way. And we did that several times. We've been several missions. I can say maybe 10 missions where we've pulled out hundreds of people.
Okay.
We were at last night, we pulled out 200 people. The one, there were other teams moving 140 people, emptying out whole nursing homes where the patients were sitting in water.
Wow.
The water had come all the way inside and flooded the building with 2-3 feet of water.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
Brother Singleton is on. Brother Singleton is ready.
Oh, let's bring him on. John?
Yes, sir.
Hey, what's going on? For the listeners, this is Mr. John Singleton, who is the I'm gonna put it out there, John. I'm putting it out there. He is the CEO and the founder and the owner of the only African American owned and operated EMS service in the state of Michigan. Yeah, I'm going to say that again. The only black-owned and operated, not ambulance company, EMS service. Big difference than an ambulance thing. An ambulance company is a company that has ambulances that just do transports. We own an EMS service where we're capable of doing the transports. We can do the dialysis transport. We can pick you up, take you to a facility, bring you home to a facility. We can also respond to 911 emergencies anywhere in the state. If they give us the call, we have those capabilities. We can do standbys at sporting events to ensure that large gatherings of people have medical coverage when things like that go on. We are a complete EMS service, so that's why I said it that way. So I just wanted to throw that out there. But, John, welcome to the show. John Singleton.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Muhammad. But...
Yeah, so here's the question for you, John, since you're on. What is your take, or what do you think, why do you think you are the only black-owned and operated EMS service in the entire state of Michigan?
Well, I really want to say that, it's been a trend. EMS services, basically, that we have never just really got involved in. They could be a lot more involved in it, too, but I think that we just never really pushed it. And with people don't realize, Muhammad works with me very closely, and without him, we pushed this together. And made it happen. So that's
for
my
the record.
That's my quick version.
For the record, let me say this: I'm the operations manager. He's the administrator. So all the paperwork that needed to be done, which I did not do, didn't know nothing about, John did that. All I did was came in and put my expertise in that I thank my father, the late Commander James Ruffy Robinson,
who beat
EMS.
And that's what it takes. That's what it takes to make it a great company.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Who beat it into me, who, again, for those listening, the Bedford-Stuyvesant Volunteer Ambulance Corps, the only black-owned and operated volunteer ambulance company in the nation. So I asked the question facetiously. The answer, the real answer is because there aren't many people who are going to sacrifice what needs to be sacrificed to make something like that happen. Because you're talking about sacrificing your time, your resources, and your family. Because that's a 24/7 commitment. You can't just do 9 to 5 like a bank and shut it off and pick it back up the next morning. No, this is a 24/7 commitment. And all of your expendable resources and those that you don't have, you have to pour into a business like this, because our people, the very people that we're trying to get to help, are the very ones that won't support it for the most part. But we still have to be out there to do it, because if we can get one and help them out of a tragic situation, then it's a job well done. So I'm just throwing that out there. And just for those of y'all that are listening, First Response EMS is coming to a city near you. Atlanta, yeah. D.C., Maryland. I'm just throwing things out there, just throwing stuff out, Brother Yusuf.
That is definitely
Tidewater
true.
Area.
That's right.
You know, so we do have, so as again, as we're talking, we have black-owned farms. We have a black-owned EMS service. We have these things. Now we have to connect them with the people that need them so that we can sustain and so that the people can be sustained. And that's what the purpose of this show is, to connect the dots and connect the resources. Brother Yusuf?
That's right. It's about community investment, community involvement, community partnership for community risk reduction. Brothers and sisters, we have to do for self or we'll suffer the consequences. As
That's
the most
right.
Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is teaching us. And so we thank God for Commander Rocky Robinson, the father of Brother Rudolph, who showed us how it was done with the Bed-Stuy Volunteer Ambulance Corps there in Brooklyn, New York. Until
That's
his
right.
dying, his last breath, he was committed
yes, sir.
To raising up the community, the young people, to teach them more about not just basic first aid, not just to become an EMT, not just to become a paramedic, but to give them the discipline that no matter what disciplines they desire to go into, they would have the basics of knowing LOC, tapping into people's level of consciousness. They would have the basics of ABC, knowing whether it was physically, mentally, morally, or other than that, that to assess a person's airway, their breathing, and their circulation would start them toward bringing them back to life. Both
That's
the
right.
people they would be administering their expertise to, and realizing that to whom much is given, much is required.
Yes, sir.
So they would also be giving themselves life. So my dear brother, thank you for what you're doing there in Michigan, and thank you for recognizing the expertise of Brother Rudolph. It was an old saying that our dear brother Gil Noble of Like It Is in New York used to say. He used to say, "One not need be a jeweler to know a diamond when you see one. So I'm sure you recognize the value of a diamond in Brother Rudolph as he did in you. So keep doing what you do, brother, and feel free to come on Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness at any time, because, again, you know, there's a need for us in our community to have a institution like you have there in Michigan, like Brother Allah has wherever Brother Allah is. He's like, I think the word is ubiquitous. The jazz,
the jazz singer
Roy Ayers had an album called Ubiquitous. All places at all times. Brother Allah, we thank Allah for you, brother, for your ability to submit to both motion and measurement as you take, you know, your expertise and the team that works with you all up and down the East Coast, all over the 2,000 by 3,000. Brothers and sisters, it's 5:41 p.m. You're listening to another weekly edition of Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. And so I'm just eternally grateful. I reached out as you were talking to Sister Southeast Regional Director Brenda Brooks of the International Association of Black Professional Firefighters. She lives in that Orlando. Wa alaikum salam, man.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm sorry. It seemed like I heard.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's in my background. John, stay on the line. Don't hang up, John.
Well, I'm going to fall back because of the time. Go ahead, Brother John. Go ahead, Brother Rudolph.
No. I just wanted to, I just wanted to put this out there to the listening audience. If you're in the Michigan area or coming to the Michigan area, we got work. We have work. We have more work than we have employees. If you're in the medical field, if you're an EMT, a paramedic, if you're a first responder, if you're an emergency medical responder, if you're a chauffeur, if you are one who knows how to operate wheelchair lift vans and vehicles, we have work at the First Response EMS service in Detroit, Michigan. John, can you give them the way that they can contact us if they are in the area and are looking for work?
Absolutely. They can actually call a 1-800 number, and that's 833-633-3367. And technically, it will be 833-NEED-EMS.
Repeat that number, Brother John.
Okay. It would be 833-633-3367.
Thank you,
okay,
sir.
And the acronym is basically 833-NEED-EMS. So.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yes, you see why I got Muhammad with me. He makes it happen.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, Brother
Forrest.
Yes, Brother. Breaking news. Sandoval Causeway in Florida just collapsed. And 2 million people in Florida without electricity.
That makes it sound like. Wow.
Pardon me?
Wow.
The power of water. The power of water, my brothers. The power of water.
Oh, man. My God. May Allah, may Allah have mercy on those people. Yes, yeah, family. This is what we deal with disaster awareness for community preparedness. Boots on the ground. We are not sitting in any cushy offices anywhere. We are actually in the street. Wherever these things are happening, we're out here, up to date, real time information. So that's why a lot of times you may hear a lot of noise in our background, stuff we can't control, because we're actually out here in the thick of things as we're doing our show. So thank you, Brother Forrest, for that. So as John said, if you're in the area or coming to the area or know someone in the area that's looking for work, have them contact us, First Response EMS at 833-NEED-EMS. They can hit us up on send an email to us also at contact, C-O-N-T-A-C-T, at First Response, F-I-R-S-T-R-E-S-P-O-N-S-E, EMS.net, N-E-T. Contact at firstresponseems.net. So, John, would you like to say anything to the people before we get off the air?
No, actually, Muhammad, you said it great. So I'm good, and I enjoy being on here.
All right. Well, thank you, John. And I'll get in touch with you a little later on after the show.
Yes, sir.
All right. Allah, you still on the air?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. So you told us what's going on in Orlando. We got a report of what's going on in Fort Myers area, the Tampa area. What's going on there?
So in the Tampa area, we had units out in the Tampa area. They dealt with a lot of flooding and some wind issues, but there's a lot of power outages. I didn't mention the power outages. We do have a lot of power outages. That's not really in my wheelhouse.
Right.
And there are millions of people, even in the Orlando area, statewide, that have a lot of power outages. That's not really in my wheelhouse. I don't really deal with that part. We just deal with the evacuations and the flooding and the emergent stuff. But we do, prior to the storm, they did move a lot of cherry pickers and utility trucks inside the area prior to the storm. They were coming down when I came down on Thursday and moving up and down the highway on Thursday and Friday prior to the storm. There were lines and lines and lines of utility trucks pulling into Florida. So I'm sure that they'll be able to get that back online. It's just we were all waiting for the okay to move certain resources into certain areas. As of right now, we still have flooding issues and water that's still climbing. So that's a hard task to get to certain areas. The other morning, I was awoken by a transformer exploding in the distance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what hit a lot of the regions of the Orlando area. The transformer blew out right out across. I could see across town from my window. I'm in a hotel in the Orlando Hilton, and I could see the transformer exploding. I just saw a big blue light in the distance. It looked like firework, like a big ball of a big blue flame, and it just exploded. And then it went twice, and that was it. And from then on, people started complaining in the Orlando area, the downtown area, that they didn't have power. But that's been a problem all over the state, where people are having millions of people are having power outages. I don't foresee it being a problem for long, as long as they can access the areas with the water, with the heightened water. To rebuild some of the light poles and the telephone poles. We don't have rainfall right now. The day is pretty nice. It's an 80 degree day. There's a little breeze coming through. You wouldn't anticipate it being after a storm, but I don't anticipate this being a long term thing. But the recovery will be long term. Because you still have a lot of people homeless and a lot of people that are still trying to seek resources to help them fix what they lost. The creeks and the lakes are still cresting. The water has nowhere to go right now. And Everybody's just working with what they have right now, brother. We're just here on standby making sure that everybody's okay. We will be soon I'll be shipping out to Fort Myers and assisting down there a little more once they allocate the resources and are able to distribute the resources or to Daytona.
Well, brother Law, one thing for sure, brother, we are eternally grateful that you had the opportunity to call into our program. We're grateful that you're safe, brother, and that you're serving as only we know you to do, willing to risk your life, brother, in the midst of the storm. And I believe our listening audience knows that what the report you gave, brother, the update of the landscape, if you will, was priceless. So you stay safe, brother, and give your team our best regards on behalf of Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. If there's any last comments as we are entering into the last 9 minutes of our program you'd like to share, Brother Law, go right ahead, brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you. I appreciate what your brothers do every week. I appreciate everybody who's listening. And please grab this information because, as they say, the life you save may be your own. And the information
That's
you
right.
learn, and the knowledge is power, and the information you may obtain may be the one that the one gem that you get may be the one that saves you. I apologize I'm a little bit off today. I'm still trying to warm up from being in that water all day. A little tired, but I'm here, and I appreciate y'all calling and listening and broadcasting. And I'm just going to leave you with the blessings and say assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam, good brother.
Hey,
Thank you.
Listen, brother Allah, this is what you need to do since you're back at the hotel, right? All right? Epsom salt and some wintergreen alcohol and fill up the tub with some hot water and get in it and just soak. Brother, about 20-30 minutes. Let the Epsom salt soak into your muscles and into your body, and you sit in that water so that you can warm yourself up, warm your core back up, and you can relax and soothe your muscles. That'll help with the warming up then and with those sore muscles, so you can get back out there and do it all over again in a few hours.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it because exactly what you said in a few hours.
Yes, sir. Man. All right, brother. Don't take no – listen, keep your head on the swivel and don't take no chances, brother. Remember, a hero ain't nothing but a sandwich.
Yes, sir.
There you have it. Thank you, Brother Allah. Brothers and sisters, I'm looking right now. There's a state of emergency all up and down the southeastern coast from Florida to Georgia to South Carolina to North Carolina to Virginia. Power outages in the Carolinas are increasing. This storm has gone from a hurricane to a tropical storm warning to a tornado warning. We've had flash floods, and be aware of the storm surge and flooding. As Brother Law mentioned to us, be more concerned about flood safety and flood insurance. We've had programs on that as well. And so remember, brothers and sisters, the pre, the during, and the post-disaster, you want to make a family plan that everybody in your family understands what to do, when to do, how to do, where to do. Situational awareness. The better you're prepared to calm fears. Brother Law said this particular climactic condition that came through Florida, and it's we're getting this impact up in Virginia now. It's not like something they've seen in recent history. So you want to be able to give your family strength by proper preparation, by offering them whatever it takes to calm their fears, by giving them confidence to get ready to evacuate if you have to. And then as the post, you want to be able to put yourself in position to clean up together. You want to be sensitive toward the seniors in your community. Give them a call. See how they're doing. Because some seniors are living by themselves, and we just never know what they're going through until we call them to check up on them. So just wanted to share that. Stay in tune, brothers and sisters. We're at 6:56, the last 4 minutes of this week's program. Continue to get informed. Continue to make a plan. Continue to develop your survival kit and continue to periodically reassess. When Brother Allah said, the life you save may be your own, that's something that my biological father always said. So thank you for bringing his spirit and that life-saving principle back up, Brother Allah. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Brother John Singleton, for doing what you do with the first responders EMS, because whether it's what you're doing there or what the International Association of Black Professional Firefighters have been missioned to do, it's about recruitment, it's about retention, and it's about retiring with dignity. But you never really retire, you just retread. But you want to give youth an opportunity to know that there are careers out there for them if they just take the opportunity to take advantage of it, no matter, you know, where you are in your life, in terms of diversity, where you are in your life, in terms of equity, where you are in terms in your life, in terms of inclusion. Consider becoming a first responder, emergency medical technician, a paramedic, a firefighter. We need you now more than ever, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen. And so as I give Brother Rudolph the opportunity to close us out for this week, I want to thank all of our listening audience for the honor of your ear and the privilege of your presence. Thank Brother Allah, Brother John, Brother Barry, Sister Ajuba for texting in. Pray you're all right, Sister Ajuba, and that whatever happened with that boom will be mitigated, taken care of, and you can move right along. So, brothers and sisters, again, it's been a great pleasure for me, as it is every week, serve you in this capacity. I want to thank my wife and my children and my grandchildren for their sacrifice, because were it not for them, I wouldn't be able to have the steps that Almighty God is ordering of me and making my firm my feet what it is without their assistance. So as I said, even as we share these words, me, you, and we, I guess it's still the way it used to be. The strength of a nation is its family, and real freedom is responsibility, the ability to respond legitimately by any means necessary. Thank you for tuning in to another weekly edition of Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness, as I pass this on to Brother Rudolph in the closing. Love you. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. And in my closing today, I just want to give honor and chronicle a poem titled Mother to Son by Langston Hughes. Well, son, I'll tell you. Life for me ain't been no crystal stair. It's had cracks in it and splinters and boards torn up and places with no carpet on the floor bare. But all the time, I's been a-climbing on and reaching landings and turning corners and sometimes going in the dark where there ain't been no light. So, boy, don't you turn back. Don't you sit down on the steps because you find it's kind of hard. Don't you fail now. Still going, honey. I still climbing. And life for me ain't been no crystal stair. Well, life in America for people of color ain't been no crystal stair. There's always a disaster looming to the left or to the right. It's always a situation that we're coming out of or going into. Remember, a disaster is only a situation where the circumstances overwhelm your ability to deal with it. And that's whatever it may be. So just remember, but don't give up. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep your God. Keep faith in yourself. Prepare yourself with the knowledge, the information, the actual facts necessary to mitigate circumstances. And if you can't fly, run. If you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, crawl. But for God's sake, keep moving. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
While I'm singing their song.